Happy New Year and welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 4th of January, and I'm recording at a late-ish 10:40 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in what was sunny London for a change today. Okay, nothing sunny in the markets. It was a scary day here overall. Lots of downward dynamics, indiscriminate selling, in other words, covering virtually all assets following the openings, and pairing those declines somewhat towards the close, particularly on Wall Street. Now, let me run through the rest of the action here as it actually occurred today, but just very big declines overall. If I go to the Asia-Pacific region, everything was down, but the headline makers, which set the tone for the day, were in China. So we had the Shanghai Composite Index down almost 7% and the Shenzhen Composite down over 8%. So you can imagine the pull that cost over other markets, pushing them down sharply. The Nikkei 225 in Japan down over 3%. Looking China enterprises, those are the 8 shares, Taiwan down over 3%. Taiwan was only down 2.68%. Sensex index down a couple of percent. They're all down close to 2% on the remainder of those Asia-Pacific indices. Now, in Europe, again, hit quite hard. Germany had the biggest fall, down 4.28%. That's massive, taking it down to 10,283. Mind you, it'll bounce back tomorrow morning. I suspect not all the way, but it'll bounce. maybe 100 points or so, because the Dow was down, I think over 400 points when around the time Germany closed, and all the other European stock markets were so weak, declines mostly on the order of 2.5 to 3.5% here, and or to over 3%, and Wall Street, though, but having been down on over 400 points on the Dow at one stage, closed down 276, had quite a good rally towards the close. The S&P 500 was down over 40, closed down 31, still a big hit, but on those two indices, down just over 1.5%. The NASDAQ Composite NASDAQ Composite was down over 2% on the day, but it also closed on the high of the day, which is quite interesting here overall. And the let's see, other things that I can mention to you that'd be relevant. Canada not down much, 0.2 percentage point. Mexico a couple of points. Okay, that's pretty much it. Hold on just a second. I've got some little interference on my screen, and I will just correct that here. Just a minute. This is live time here, folks. As you can appreciate. Okay, so looking at the bond markets here today, VIX down. The U.S. 10-year Treasuries down. Yields down to closing around the 2.24%. However, they had been down as low as 2.20%. Then moving on to the VIX, that had rallied up to 23.36, but then finally closed at 20.7. So you can see there was that late rally in the USA. Now the dollar index also that was at currently trading right now. It just continues trading long after normal closing hours, but it's at 98.85. Right now, which is up a little bit on the day. It was up very strong early on. It was at 99.182, and that sort of took an axe to other currencies. The euro, for instance, still trading here after hours, but it's at 108.30, and sterling's down to 1.4717. The Australian dollar down to 0.718. And in the Asia Pacific region, there was a lot of weakness. The Chinese renminbi fell sharply to another new low. And the Indian ringgit, which had been quite firm. Still down on the dollar on the last year, but had been quite firm overall relative to other Asia Pacific currencies. That weakened in here again today quite sharply, but not to a new low against the dollar. But overall, the Asia Pacific currencies are weak. Against the greenback, and so are the Latin American currencies. Now, also looking at what happened here, and it's just general capitulation selling. If I take precious metals, these were down. Let's take palladium down $22 to $5.39 and change. The silver market is currently. Once flat on the day, it got up to 14, at least I think 14.12, might have been a little higher than that. They're not showing that at the moment, but it's currently at 13.85. It gave up the whole gain, but steadier than many of the others. And platinum. Down $8.50, $8.84 and change, and gold was weaker, $1,074 and change. So that took, actually that was a bit of a gain. I apologize, bit of a gain on the day. And the better indication I can give you from the February contract 2006, that's trading up 13 right now at 1,073. So gold and silver, to a limited extent, outperformed in here today, while the others, palladium and platinum, were weaker, and the industrial metals were weaker. The U.S. Copper market, for instance, is at 208 cents right now, and that's down over 5 cents, and it was lower on the day. Other industrial metals, mostly weaker overall. And crude oil, and I said this indiscriminate selling, because crude oil, Brent had been up to $38.99, but it's trading right now at $37.36. And the WTI had been up to $38.39 and is trading now at $36.88. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Why are we seeing all this? Well, markets had obviously been nervous towards year end. We had certainly seen plenty of selling pressure coming in. And There was a little bit of a hope on everybody's part, and certainly mine, that we might get this out of the way by the end of the year, get in some of that tax loss selling and so on, and open stronger. Well, it certainly didn't happen. And a big reason why that didn't happen is because of China's initial fall, which I mentioned at the beginning of this audio. But people are also alarmed by the growing tension, to put it mildly, between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and following the execution of all those prisoners, including a well-known Iranian cleric by the Saudis. So a lot of concerns and worries. And then there are the ones that have been around for a while, such as the European immigration crisis that's taking place, the tension with Western participants there in the Middle East, and where Russia has also been throwing its weight. Well, Russia has really been throwing its weight around overall. So a lot of factors sort of converging in here, and that just caused people who were long to move to the sidelines and encouraged some short selling. Now, people talk about the first day of January, the first week of January, the month of January, the January effect, and so on. Is that going to be negative? Well, that's a risk. And something that I mentioned last on the 22nd of December, it seems like months and months ago, but a few points that I just run through with you quite clearly. Because, as you know, my view overall, that my view is more in line with what I have been posting, and I've been posting it because their views are more in line with mine. It makes sense to me. Ambrose Evans Pritchard of the Telegraph, Roger Bootle, also writing in the Telegraph, Rod Smith, my old friend who produces the weekly view for most issues at any rate from the States. But here are the things, some factors. There were here four factors that I listed on the 22nd of December. And one was Wall Street's continued deterioration in market breadth. Now, you certainly are familiar with this because everybody's talking about it now. Signaled by the underperformance of the Russell 2000 index, that means fewer and fewer shares are supporting averages near current levels. And those are mostly just sort of a handful of big high-tech companies getting these momentum moves. So my point on the 22nd was that a move by the Russell 2000 index back above 1200 is required to indicate improving breadth. We are some way below that right now. Second one, I mentioned that November and December's seasonal underperformance, obviously extended today by a very weak opening for January, that's hardly reassuring for investors. We get back to the so-called January effect that people will talk about. Third factor that I mentioned is the risk of the dollar index. There's risk that it will break to the upside from its current range. That would be serious, a decisive break above that 100 level. And you remember I mentioned a moment ago that it's currently here in 98.84. Now, what that would do, why that would be bearish, is that the dollar has already gone up a lot over the last 6 to 9 months or more. And break to the upside. And it's easy to understand why that might occur. The U.S. economy is recovering more quickly than other economies, on most evidence. And what that would also, U.S. interest rates having moved up, and people are extrapolating that hike, including at the Fed. But what that would do is weaken the earnings consolidated in dollars by the big multinationals, many of the shares that have been performing so well recently. So that's a concern. And if I look at Also, it would cause problems, as I've mentioned on so many occasions, for countries which borrowed when the dollar was lower. It would compound their problems. So that's a third factor. And a fourth factor, and I think this is a really seriousness, the weakness of crude oil and metal prices. This just ensures that the primarily resources economies that produce oil and metals remain in severe recession. We could also call these depressions, and therefore are unable to purchase services or products from other countries. Now, that's really quite serious. Depends which countries we're talking about for the most part, but take the Saudis, for instance, would spend billions abroad, and not always in everyone's interests. For instance, they also finance the Wahhabis to an enormous extent, but you know, from plenty of weapons purchases there by the Saudis, and just foreign goods, cars, very smart cars, so on. So that's just been slashed dramatically and is not likely to return soon. So a point that I have mentioned in the past is that we need to see crude oil and metal prices, or if you just want to look at one index, look at the Continuous Commodity Index, that's CCI index in the library, and we need to see that pick up. I've said that it looks to be in a bottoming out base building, or at a bottoming out base building stage overall. But it's got a way to go here to, it isn't yet showing us the strong recovery. We've had little hints, we've had small rallies, we've had steadying here overall, but weaker in here today, obviously with all that selling, hitting just about everything but gold and silver, and paring silver sharply from its highs earlier on in the day. So a lot of tension here overall. How bad is it, or how bearish is it? Well, I think just to repeat something I've said in broadcasts last month here, it increases the risk that we will see more what I would call cyclical bearish phases. We saw a lot of those last year, and A very choppy environment overall. Does it mean that we will get some sort of devastating blowout to the downside? Well, I don't think so. But the key point to mention here right now is that markets are weak. We've seen people can list a whole lot of bearish factors. I mean, I ran through four of them for you, and there isn't anybody in the markets who couldn't list a few more, and there are some people who are putting out vast lists of bearish factors. We want to be a little bit careful there and put that into view, that in perspective. If people can produce big lists of bearish factors, then you know that a lot of those factors are at least partially discounted. And you also know, or we also know, or should know, that today's action looked a bit climactic. We're getting oversold here once again, but the overall deterioration with U.S. indices, stock market indices looking toppy. Iconic leaders such as Apple underperforming in here. There are a lot of things here to keep the bulls on the sidelines, to keep them nervous. So it's still a risky, choppy period overall. But the best long-term advice that I ever heard and heard early on in my career, which I repeated by from time to time, is buy low, sell high. We certainly moved a bit lower here today, and some things are extremely oversold. And on that note, and apologies if I've run on for too long, meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.